Virtuous by Hey Jude 19. It is terribly easy to disguise vice as virtue, especially when the other party is so ready to see something worth redeeming. But Draco is only sin inverted. Since all that war mess, he's resolved to never hitch himself to any particular ethos or belief system, goodness and light included. His pursuit now is focused, singular devotion. Humility is merely act one in this calculated pantomime. He does have an awful lot to apologize for, after all. Truth be told, he even means most of what he puts in that penitent letter to Granger. He doesn't bother with a letter for Weasley, unsure that oaf can even read, let alone comprehend Draco's vocabulary. So it's curt, deferential nods when he sees the ginger knob around the ministry halls. Draco knows word will reach Potter quickly. Kindness tastes bitter. How can you display a skill never taught? Mimicry helps him here, despite his former, yes, you read that right, former, thanks ever so, disdain for Granger. He finds her easy to befriend. He puts himself forward on a few curse-breaking missions for the International Department, nets spots on cases involving her, and then lays it on thick. A curse victim needs comforting. He'll hold a hand, offer a cloak, dry some tears, and speak low and sweet, though loud enough for others to hear, especially her. And he won't even flinch. He'll scourgify himself to hell and back when he's home. Kindness involves far too much touching of the unwashed masses for his tastes. Though he does mildly enjoy discussing spell theory with Granger during debriefings, Potter has to know by now. Temperance, Draco's already learned, by function of post-war sentencing and a brief stint as a social pariah, which means reining in his instincts to stare. He cannot drink in Potter's exquisite features, but must practice indifference instead, especially with Potter's eyes on him now. All those rumors swirling about Cursebreaker Malfoy have definitely reached the far too curious for his own good head orer Potter. Draco allows himself one stiff nod of acknowledgement for every 5 times they cross paths. Charity is by far the simplest task. Draco gives generously to Hogwarts and St. Mungo's, like his parents before him, though now a few newer causes have entered his donation rota. There's the one named for Remus Lupin, the house elf one Granger favors, a creature one for the dragon tamer Weasley. All these causes have the added benefit of hosting galas. If there's one thing Draco knows how to do, it's turn heads upon arrival. It's socialize and charm and chat, swirl in bespoke robes, and sip from a crystal champagne flute. He's ingratiating and magnanimous, always in the group just over from where Potter stands. He's not overbearing, not to Potter. He doesn't flock to him like the other simpering admirers. Draco spares him a reserved smile and congenial conversation only when initiated by Potter. Diligence comes naturally to Draco, and he does not have to fake this one. Harry Potter is his new vanishing cabinet. Draco will break him down piece by piece, learn his most basic components, and discover how to put him back together into something just for Draco. Food is a peculiar stressor with him, it seems. Draco takes it upon himself to stock his office with the best candy Honeydukes has to offer for those in-office visits from Aura Potter that seem to ever increase in both frequency and duration. When Potter's eyes drift to Draco's buttons, Draco ensures that next visit he has the top two undone, an exposed throat for the head orer's approving stare. Chastity tests him. Draco knew this might occur here, in the dark corner of another boring gala. Potter offers himself, unabashedly, too earnest and eager by half. Draco could take, but knows if he does this now, if he caves, then he will not keep. He's come too far now to play for anything less than eternity. Potter is not subtle. An expelliarmus in human form, he makes Draco's hands shake, and he's at risk of dropping anything in his grip when Potter pins him with his bright green eyes and gruffly asks if Draco wants to accompany him home for the night. Patience secures him the win. Despite Draco's insistence to avoid any and all structured systems of belief, he worships on his knees for Potter, Harry, and again on his back, and again bent over a desk, because he waits to whisper, "Mine," into a warm, wet mouth, and receives what he covets most. "Yours. Yes, Draco, yours." Vice is a human construct, but in its grasp, Draco feels nothing but divine.